Advent season. I've entitled the message today, The Best Christmas Gifts. So I thought it appropriate to share what I found online in terms of what the top 10 toy gifts are for Christmas this year. One of them is the Love-A-Bell doll. You can teach her words and she'll talk back to you up to 100 words. Star Wars Path of the Force lightsaber. A Beauty and the Beast tea set. Fisher-Price Teach and Tag robot. The Anki Overdrive Fast and Furious racetrack. Smart Max Magnetic Discovery Start, which is building structures using magnets. Top Anna Farm cubes, which are stacking cubes with little animals you can put inside them. Paw Patrol Sea Patrol Vehicle. Transformers The Last Night RC Squeaks. And then the one that I think I like the most, and fits Nelson County, and there's good news and bad news about this, it's the Great Little Trading Company's Toy Farm. And it's just cute. And it would really fit a Nelson County family. The only problem is they're sold out and you won't get any more this year. So these are what are considered the must-have, the hottest toys, the greatest gifts, the things that have sold out on Amazon and Walmart and Toys R Us, the thing that people want, and sometimes they want them just because they're said to be the hottest item on the list. But I want us today to understand what the greatest Christmas gift ever was, which you already know what we're going to be talking about, but to understand why it's the most important and the different dimensions of why it's so important. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we look into your word, as we seek to embrace this Christmas season and the true meaning, the true importance of what it is, and to live that out in a way that brings honor and glory to your name, Lord, reveal yourself to us as we come seeking to worship as your people. This prayer we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So, Melissa just sang a song, and the title of it is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. I wanted to make sure I got it right. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that this gift is a long-awaited gift. And Melissa volunteered to sing that to lead us into this, which I greatly appreciate. And if you've got a Bible, that's an annotated Bible, and that means it has some notes in it, and it helps understand how some of the scriptures are related to each other. If you've got one of these, if you look in your Bible at Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the end of 23, mine has this little italicized D. And then if I look down at it, it says, verse 23... it refers me back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And yours might do the same thing. So if we look back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is what we read. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So, it's this prophecy that's being fulfilled. The book of Isaiah originated approximately 700 years B.C. 700 years before Christ. And so it is something that people had been waiting for a long time. So what is all of this about? What is the purpose of the Messiah? What does the Messiah do? Well, we understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And why did he die on the cross? To save us. And how does he save us? What's he taking care of by dying on the cross? Our sins. He's paying the price for our sins. Well, what was happening here, sacrifices were made in the Old Testament, and these were atonements for sin. This was how God's people sought forgiveness. So if they did this, and this is what God said, why did Jesus ever need to die? If that was atonement for sin, if that provided forgiveness, why did Jesus ever have to come? Well, this type of sacrifice, this atonement, did not take the sin away. And they knew that there was something more, there was something great to be expected. And to explain this a little bit further, I want to turn to more scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. There's some explanation that pulls together this idea of the sacrifices along with Jesus' birth and His ultimate sacrifice. So in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 11, we read, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, 'This is the covenant I will make with them.' After that time, says the Lord, 'I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more.' And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." So this in Hebrews in the New Testament, it gives explanation for what the people of the Old Testament were understanding. Yes, they had the sacrifice. Yes, this was a way to atone for sins, but they knew that there was something more that was coming with the Messiah. They came to the temple with their sacrifices to make themselves right with God. But they knew because of the words of the prophet that they would experience the fullness of the intended relationship with God only when the Messiah came to earth. Now, they had some specific expectations, and all of what I'm about to tell you comes from a book of Isaiah. I'll give you the chapter reference, but I want you to understand this whole thing of the long-awaited gift and the great expectation and why the gift is truly the greatest gift ever. See, these people had specific expectations of what the Messiah was going to be like and what his life would look like. This is what they anticipated. Isaiah 7 says he would be born of a virgin. In chapter 9, he will have a Galilean ministry. Also, he will be an heir to the throne of David. In Isaiah 40, it says his way will be prepared. Isaiah 50, he will be spat on and struck. Isaiah 52, he will be exalted. Also, he will be disfigured by suffering. And then all of this comes from chapter 53. He will make blood atonement. He will be widely rejected. He will bear our sins and sorrows. He will be our substitute. He will voluntarily accept our guilt and punishment for sin. He will be silent before his accusers. He will save us who believe in him. He will die with transgressors. Then back in Isaiah 11, he says, Gentiles will seek him. Isaiah 61, he will heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah 11, God's Spirit will rest on him. And Isaiah 53, he will be buried in a rich man's tomb. So, as we continue to look at Isaiah, and as the people of the Old Testament understood Isaiah, this wasn't just a history lesson. It would change all of humanity as it would know. It would change the world. When the Messiah comes, it would be truly the greatest gift ever. And they understood this. Well, the next thing I say is that it's an unexpected gift. How did these two things come together? How can it be a long anticipated gift, yet also an unexpected gift? Let me help you with that for a minute. This is what I want you to do. If you're a woman or a girl, I want you to put yourself in Mary's shoes. If you're a man, I want you to put yourself in Joseph's sandals. You've heard about the Messiah all your life. You believe it to be true. You know it's something your people have been anticipating for ages. But can this really be true? Am I imagining what I'm seeing and hearing from this angel? What? Why would God choose me of all people? For Mary, how do I explain this to my family? For Joseph, am I supposed to believe this? Mary seems like a nice enough girl, but is she really trying to cover up an inappropriate rendezvous and expects me to be so gullible as to believe this story that she's the mother of the Messiah? Where do we find the faith to believe, the courage to move forward, the wisdom and strength to be the parents of the Messiah? Mary and Joseph might say, we know this is the greatest gift ever, but at the same time, it's the scariest thing that's ever happened. So it's not so difficult to understand how, now that we grasp the unexpected gift, we could move to it being an unexpected gift to a spectacular gift. Joseph, after the first waves of shock and disbelief, he might think, wow, I guess this really is happening. I can't say I've ever had such a dramatic, angelic experience before. This is big. This is really big. This is bigger than just being visited by an angel. This is bigger than Mary and I. This is about the entire world, from my earliest ancestors to all of the people who will ever walk the face of the earth. This is the greatest gift ever. My mind, my body, my soul cannot comprehend the spectacular thing that is happening. And from there, the long-expected gift, the unexpected gift, the spectacular gift leads us to the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus was a gift to Mary and Joseph. But Jesus was also a gift from the Father to every person who believes. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever wondered how that verse really tied in to Christmas? You'll see it on Christmas cards and you know it's about salvation, but how did it tie? It ties in because it shows that the gift of Christmas never, ever, ever ends, and God wants everyone to experience it. Eternal life with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ is the most wonderful gift ever given. All other Christmas gifts should be given in celebration of this truth. For Jesus Christ is truly the greatest gift. And it's for you and you and you and you and you. And as we leave, it'll be for the person we meet here and there and there. We must let others know of this greatest gift. But that's not the end of the message today. Once you've accepted the greatest gift, the gift truly continues to give. Consider this. Have you been waiting for something to change in your life? Are you anticipating a life with more purpose? The Israelites waited a long time for the Messiah. God has a plan for you. Once you become a child of his, and God desires all of us to be his children, that's not the ending. That's the beginning. God has a plan for you. He has a good plan for you. Allow the Christmas story to remind you of how God desires to bless his people, how he keeps his promises, and how he never, ever leaves your side. God's gift may very well come at a time and in a manner that you don't necessarily expect. God has a way of doing that to make sure that we know this is not about us or about our accomplishments, but about God's love for us. God's gifts may or may not appear spectacular to the world around you, But as you embrace the blessing God has for you, He will use you to accomplish great, spectacular, kingdom-size achievements you can't imagine. One of my absolute favorite scriptures which describes this that I'm trying to say comes from John chapter 14, verse 12, and it says this, "Very, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." God has some amazing plans for you. Not just satisfactory plans, not just plans that you're going to have an okay life. God has plans for you to accomplish more on this earth than Jesus Christ Himself did. We couldn't do it if Jesus Christ hadn't come and been born and died on a cross. And we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. But through the Holy Spirit, we're able to continue being a part of that gift that gives and gives. So I ask you today, do not treat the greatest gift ever with a cheap laissez-faire attitude. Take time to appreciate God's gift, His love for you, and His salvation for your soul. This is not as difficult to comprehend as it might sound. Simply open yourself up to Christ's love, and He will show Himself to you. Then you will be able, you won't be able but to help. You'll have to continue perpetuating the greatest gift ever. This time of year, we go around asking children, what is it that you want for Christmas? Some of them have long lists. Some of them have a short list, but those things are kind of big. Then there's some that fall all in between. But I have the same question for you this year. What do you want for Christmas? I hope that your answer can really be that what you want is the greatest gift. And if you embrace that gift, it will result in you having so much than you could ever possibly humanly desire. And then through that gift, you're able to share with others the peace, hope, love, and joy. And these aren't just words. We say those words all the time, but I want you to understand, what does it look like for the people that you're going to run into this week to truly have and experience hope, peace, love, and joy? Because there's so many of them that don't have it. There's some of us sitting right here that it's been a long time since we've experienced some or all of those. That's what we get with the greatest gift ever. And it's ours to receive. We just accept it. And then we can share it with others. Jesus already paid the cost. It's ours. I'm going to ask our musicians to come up. And we're going to close with a time of commitment. And I invite you, however you see fit, to respond to God's leading. And I don't believe we come here for the purpose of just seeing each other and just saying that we fulfill the duty. I believe when we come here and open our hearts that God speaks to us. And I believe that if you're allowing it, God's speaking to you right now. And so I invite you to respond. You might want to respond. I would love to pray with you if there's something on your heart. The altar's open. You can come and kneel here and pray directly to God. And yes, you can pray from your seat. But there are times if God's nudging you, there's a reason God wants you to come and put a stake in the ground and say, I'm taking this seriously and I'm doing this publicly because it's that important. And there's some other times that it's something that's such an intimate thing that it needs to be between you and God. But don't take it wrong. Respond as God would lead us. We sing Silent Night, Holy Night. Let's stand together.
It's hymn number 91.